It's another one. I got that juice, juice. New AP. She got that juice, juice. She got that squeeze. She got that wet, wet. I'm on them skis. I got that drip, drip. I'm overseas.
The Needham boys basketball team are state champs, ladies and gentlemen, and it's hard to put into words the how proud I am of that team, but also how proud I am of one certain player. J.J. Piter had a weekend to remember. He broke the state tournament rebounds record held by Joey Hauser, and he won a gold ball, and he won MVP. But it goes beyond that. When JJ was in middle school, he was seen as a decent basketball player, but, you know, you saw this guy in middle school. I don't even know how tall he was. He was very tall, and I was just like, of course he plays basketball. I don't think people really thought, maybe, and even JJ really thought he was good enough at basketball for how big he was. He was missing an edge. And when you want to be a really good basketball player, you have to have an edge. Fast forward to high school, and you see JJ play freshman ball, then JV ball, then varsity ball. And you see his confidence slowly build. You see him demanding the ball in the post. You see him put a lot of energy into the game. You see him score. You see him flex on you. You see him rock the baby. You see him tell you you're too small. And I feel like all that, this JJ's entire journey as a basketball player officially came into fruition this weekend. He runs out on the Kohl Center for warm-ups. And people know JJ. I mean, maybe not as... And people know JJ. He had a great year this year. You know, people know he's a very, very important player for the Rockets. But then you watch him on TV or you watch him on the court and you see people just like, wow, look at that guy. Look at how aggressive he is on the glass. Look at how good his ball handling is for a guy his size. Look at him. Look at the confidence he displays on the court. Look at him flex on guys when he's, you know, getting boards over them, when they're being a little aggressive, and he's still getting boards over them. And everyone is just on their feet cheering his name and just like, wow, JJ Piter is that guy. It almost felt like me watching as a friend, I was watching a movie. And JJ was the main character. I mean, I cannot tell you how many times I heard announcers say, like, wow, look at Piter. Wow, look at that pass by Piter. Or wow, look at that spin by Piter. Or wow, look at that play by Piter. I mean, if you would have told JJ that he would have been in that spot when he was in middle school, like, JJ, I'm talking to 7th grade JJ right now. JJ, senior year, you're going to be playing for a gold ball. He probably would have believed that, because obviously his teams were always very good. But JJ, you are going to be the difference maker in both those games. You are going to be the one that people are talking about, and you're going to be the one that people will be talking about even after you guys win. And you're going to open a lot of eyes at that tournament. JJ probably would have called you crazy if you would have told him that when he was in middle school. So that's why I want to tell all you kids. You can achieve your dreams. Think of any dream. Anything. What is something you want to accomplish in your high school athletic career? What is a dream that you have in your high school athletic career? What is something that you're constantly thinking about? you can achieve that. JJ didn't. JJ, there's no way he thought he could achieve it 5 years ago. But look at him now. And it really, really is. It really was something special to watch. And I really thank that whole team for giving us such an unbelievable season as fans, such an unbelievable season to lay our eyes on this year. I mean, that team was truly something dominant. And JJ, man, he was the X factor this year. And all the work that he put in this weekend, that was his reward. A gold ball and walking off the floor with the medal in his hand and going through the tunnel like he was Aaron Rodgers walking off after a big Packer win. And everyone is on their feet for him, cheering his name. I truly witnessed a movie this weekend. Thank you, JJ, for making it the best movie that I've ever seen. Okay. Davante Adams is no longer a Packer. It hurts to say that. You know, Devontae's been with the Packers since 2014. And I feel like when we all saw him in that first year, especially in that first divisional game against the Cowboys, we knew that Devontae was going to be something special. And then he had some ups and downs. He went after the 2014 season when we thought we really had a promising receiver. He proceeded to have one of the worst seasons by a Packer receiver I'd ever seen by a starter. Then the next year, got better, but obviously still had the hands issue. But boy, after Aaron Rodgers went down and Devontae had Brett Hundley as his QB and was still able to pull up great numbers, that's when we knew we had our guy. He got a contract, and away Davante Adams went. Davante Adams is the greatest receiver in Packer history. No doubt in my mind. His prime in a Packer uniform, so I'd say from 2018 till now, there is not a receiver in the NFL that has been more productive than Davante Adams. And watching him and Aaron Rodgers do the things that they did on the football field, I mean, it was stunning. The connection that they had built together, where it almost felt like both of them knew where they were going to be with the ball at any given moment. It almost seemed like Aaron would just give Devontae a look. You know, there's no high safety on him. He's got single coverage. Devontae, the ball is going to you. And that ball is going to be perfectly placed. And then you're going to do whatever you want with it. And Devontae could do it all. He had an elite catching ability. After the 2015 season, none of us knew if Devontae could even catch a football. He proceeded to improve at that, and honestly, I can't remember the last time that guy dropped a pass that I was like, you know what, that's on Devontae. Devontae's got to catch that ball. The best route runner in the NFL, no doubt in my mind. There is not one corner in the NFL that could hang with Devontae. His feet looked like they were out. They look like they were creative player feet. They were perfect. They are perfect. Why am I acting like he's dead? No, he's not dead. Davante Adams has the quickest feet in the NFL. And when you have that quick of feet and you're that aggressive without using your hands, it just makes for an elite pass-catching receiver. And he made Aaron Rodgers' job way easier in these last 4 years. And honestly, Aaron may be a little worse. Aaron's stats may dip without Devontae. And obviously you don't want to say that because Aaron's stats dipping may lead to some dips in the win category for the Packers. But make no mistake about it, Devontae is going to a place where it's not better than, you know, what he had in Green Bay. I get wanting to be closer to home, but I think my issue with Devontae is he really didn't evaluate. He didn't really see the situation as Aaron Rodgers did. You know, both were in different contract situations. Didn't know if they were going to be a Packer again. And I think the way Aaron Rodgers saw it is the grass isn't always greener. And he said, I could stay with a great organization, still a very, very capable roster, in a bad division. Why would I leave? Devontae, on the other hand, saw, yeah, his college teammate, Derek Carr, playing quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. But he's also seeing the AFC West, the best division in football. He's also seeing a organization that has been, you know, iffy with hires, coaching hires, iffy with coaching hires, iffy with draft decisions. A team with not a great defense. A team with a very, very, very interesting fan base. Oh yeah, and did I mention they're in the AFC West? With the Chiefs, with the Broncos with Russell Wilson, and the Chargers with Justin Herbert still ascending, and a new loaded roster. I'm not sure what Devontae's thinking here. Obviously you want to play with your college teammate, but you also should want to play with the greatest quarterback to ever throw a football, Aaron Rodgers. And for some reason Devontae said, "You know what? Couldn't do it anymore." It really doesn't make any sense to me why he wanted out so bad. It wasn't the money. We offered him the same exact contract. Some say the contract was even more lucrative. We offered him more money. He's been with the team since 2014. We're the team that drafted him. He's already said he loves the fans. He loves the organization. He loves his teammates. He loves playing with Aaron Rodgers. And he still wanted to be a Raider. And that's why, Packer fans, you can't get too bent out of shape about this. You know, when you first see a news like this, you see notification Devontae Adams traded for a first and a second round pick. Immediately thinking, Goody, why did you let Devontae Adams go? He's the best receiver in football. How could you let a guy that talented go? And I'm not saying you're wrong to think that initially, but then you see that Devontae just really didn't want to be a Packer anymore. Don't beat yourself up, Packer fans. Don't beat anyone up. Don't beat Goody up. Don't beat Aaron Rodgers up. Don't beat Mark Murphy up. Don't beat anyone up over this. Devontae just did not want to be a Packer anymore, and frankly, we got a decent haul for him. Let's just be happy about that. You know what else we should be happy about? I'm going to transition to this. Packer fans, we're getting a fresh start. Isn't it fun having two first-round picks? Isn't it fun having still a very, very good roster, the MVP at quarterback, a good organization, and you got two first-round picks, and you can rebuild the stars that you originally had? We lost two guys that were staples of the Matt LaFleur era, Za'Darius Smith and Devontae Adams. How about a restart? How about we find our new, you know, star receiver? How about we find our new dominant D lineman or edge rusher? There's fun in that. There's fun in starting new, and it's essentially a rebuild without the losing. Think of it like that. We are rebuilding, but we're also not losing. There's no way Aaron Rodgers is not winning the division this year. As long as Aaron Rodgers is in a Packer uniform, the NFC North is the Packers for the foreseeable future. And now, we got draft picks. We got cap space. Let's restart. It almost feels like we're starting a new era with a great base of building blocks. We still kept some players, but now think about this. We didn't pay Davante Adams that money. That money could go to Jair Alexander. We got picks for Davante Adams. Those picks can maybe lead to another Davante Adams. Maybe not as good. But we can lead this new pick can lead to Aaron Rodgers' next Davante Adams, his next Jordy Nelson, his next Greg Jennings, his next go-to receiver. And there is a lot of fun in that Packer fans, and we should be very excited for this upcoming season. Now, it's come to my knowledge that I'm developing a audience that maybe is not as interested in sports as most of my audience is. Not going to throw out names, but like, there are some people from the Kimberly side of things that listen to my podcast that maybe aren't as knowledgeable about sports. And I got to entertain those people. You know, I can't just start riffing on sports and make them listen to it. Because let's be honest, they're probably not interested in it. And the only reason they're listening to it is because I'm talking. And I'm friends with them. So I am going to do a segment, a top five segment, where hopefully I can, you know, just give people some laughs and maybe you don't even need to know anything about sports. You can just laugh. Because I like to think I'm a pretty funny guy. So, today I am doing the top five dads at Little League games. Now, I'm a former Little League baseball player. I'm also a former Little League umpire. And I also watched a shit ton of Little League when my older brothers were playing. So I have quite the experience in seeing these stereotypical dads at their sons' Little League baseball games. Now, these are in no particular order. These are just five that I could think of off the top of my head where I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that type of dad. I've seen that type of dad. So here we go. Number one. We all know this dad. It's the rich dad. There's always one kid on the team that's always using has the best gear on the team. Sometimes they're pretty good, sometimes they're pretty shit, but then you know why. Because you see their dad roll up in his Corvette or his Mustang, whatever the hell it is. It's generally like a cheap, cool-looking car, so like a Mustang or a Corvette, or maybe a nice Audi, who knows. But he comes in, and you could tell he's coming from work. And he's wearing some really nice clothes, generally maybe his own like work uniform. So he's either wearing a suit, and when he's wearing a suit, you know he's a CEO, or he's got like a really high position in the company. That's when he's wearing like the company uniform. And he's got like Oakleys on. He's usually talking on the phone, not really interested in his son's game, just kind of has to be there because, you know, it's what a dad does. And he's generally talking on the phone a lot. And then when his son comes up, yeah, he'll put the phone down and he'll just, you know, watch his son probably strike out. And then it's back to the phone again. And he's usually not paying attention whatsoever to the game because, let's be honest, not a lot of people do care about the game, but this guy shows you that he doesn't care. And, yeah, I think I've seen this dad a lot, 100%. I played with a few guys who had a rich dad. They come in with the car, and they walk around like they fucking own the place, and that they're way better than every single person there. Because most of the time, the people that are there, I mean, they're eating their popcorn and they're drinking their soda, and the dad just like, I'm too good for this shit. I'm going to eat my salad when I get home, and I'm going to, you know, tell my kid good job, and I'll probably buy him another fucking Mako bat. And, you know, he's going to like it. But I won't pay attention to him when he swings it. So, that's the rich dad. Number two is the screaming dad. And when I mean screaming dad, I mean the guy that is just taking this way too seriously. Like, he thinks his son is... And also, I'd say the screaming dad is normally the son of the good baseball player. You know, he expects a lot out of his son. Like, when you're a really good Little League baseball player, you should be hitting the ball in the outfield or putting the ball in play almost every time you're up to bat. Not saying that you have to get a hit every single time, but when you put the ball in play, in Little League, I'd say 7 times out of 10, you're getting on base. And the screaming dad can either be the coach or just a guy in the, or just a, you know, a dad in the stands. But he's got a really good son. And his son's up to bat. And every single person in the crowd knows that his son's going to get a hit. You just know it because they see that the kid, you know, he's got a good stance. He's got really nice gear. He's usually top three in the batting order. And then he's just like, all right, come on, son. You know, does the really loud whistle. And then just the, you know, the really loud whistle, like that. And then you know, we see what happens. And most of the time, the son does put it in play. But on the rare occasion that the son strikes out, the dad is throwing either a fit at the son or he's throwing a fit at the umpire. And I've had dads yell at me. I remember one time this dad, he was the father of a certain freshman, you know, at Neenah High School. I'm not going to say names, but the dad was, you know, very, very angry with his son when, you know, his son, I think he hit a ball. I was hearing very good things about this guy. I was saying, like, oh yeah, this kid, he's the best player on this certain team. This is when I was umpiring. And I see him, and his first 2 times up to bat, he went 0 for 2. I think he grounded out in one, and he grounded out in one. I think he struck out another. And I could tell he was good, but he just wasn't putting the ball on the bat. I'm like, all right, yeah, it's fine. You can do that. And then, but this was like the screaming dad who was getting pissed at his attitude. This kid was so pissed that he wasn't putting the ball in the outfield, wasn't putting the ball on the bat. He just looked like he was just kicking dirt around. He was supposed to pitch next inning, you know, kind of stomped out of the mound, looked like he just did not want to be there. And his dad goes, I'm going to say, this is not the kid's name, but I'm just going to say a name so it can be anonymous. Hey, Chris! Why don't you look like you want to be here, son? And then his son just doesn't even look at him. He's like, that wasn't a rhetorical question. This kid is just like, Dad, can I just go out there and fucking pitch? And then the dad just like, no, I want you to answer my question. Why don't you look like you want to be here? And it was very uncomfortable, but yeah, the screaming dad is always the dad that's got the good kid, and he's always yelling at the kid for something. And if it's not his fault, he's always yelling at somebody else for it. So that the screaming dad really pisses me off as an umpire. All right, now this dad is just a fucking douchebag. The non-coach coach. Let's be honest here. These coaches for these little league teams, if you care that much, I don't get why these dads with kids on the team, they start acting like they're a coach, but they aren't officially a coach. You know, they don't have the uniform on. Why don't you just sign up to be a coach? There's no commitment to it. You go to 2-3 practices a week, and it's most likely when you're done with work. And you get to go and you get to be, you know, a coach, air quotes. Why not do it? No, these are the dads that don't have time to do anything other than only coach when the game is on. So I've seen dads, you know, they'll be basically, you know the dad little league stance. You know, they got their hands on the chain link fence, and they're just like, all right, guys, look alive out there, baseball ready. And then the coach should be saying that. But this guy's not the coach. He doesn't have the, I played for Neenah Police. He doesn't have the Neenah Police baseball shirt on. So he's not technically the coach. But he might as well should be. I mean, yeah, I could tell it kind of pisses some of the coaches off, but if the guy's just screaming shit like that, throw him in the dugout. Let him do the coaching. I could tell no one's going to mind. All he's doing is saying shit that the other coaches should be saying. It's not hard to be a Little League baseball coach. You know, you give them a little advice, maybe do the little bullshit stealing signs, and, you know, tap your hat, you know, tap your shoulder, all right, steal. Shit like that. It's not hard to be a Little League baseball coach. But what I don't understand about the coaches that act like they're coaches when they're not, just make the commitment to go to the practices. It's not hard to be a Little League baseball coach. It's not hard to sign up for that. It's not a big commitment. But these guys just insist on, you know, telling, you know, hey coach, get over here. You know, Ian over there, I think he'd be real good at I think he'd be real good at shortstop. Why don't you move little Billy over to second. I think our infield's going to be a Great Wall of China. Shit like that. I've seen that. I have seen so many dads that just sit in the stands and just feel the need to, you know, throw out and say things that the coaches are already saying. Baseball ready, you know, stealing signs, look alive, just throwing strikes here, kid, or it's just pitch and catch. But I hate them when people say that. When you're a pitcher on the mound, it is not just catch. It is way different than that. So that's the non-coach that's not the coach, but acts like he is the coach. All right, this one's just a funny one. The dad who has to restrain their son with anger issues. I have seen this way too many times. When I played in Little League, there was one guy, and he's a year above me, and everyone knows him damn well, and he doesn't have anger issues anymore. But in elementary school, he had bad anger issues. But this kid could fucking smoke the ball. Like, he would hit one hoppers to the fence every single game. But when he wasn't hitting one hoppers to the fence, he was striking out, because he was literally putting every single thing he had, every single ounce of strength he had, into those hits. And his dad was a coach, and I think his dad's only role was to just restrain the son if he ever struck out. So basically, I'll give you a perfect example. We're playing at the Shields Fields, and this guy comes up to bat, swings and miss, strikeout. Throws his helmet down, throws his bat down, and starts kicking up dirt and literally, I think he's just throwing a hissy fit. He's on the ground, rolling around, and the dad looked like he had already been there before. He's like, all right, shit. He's like, all right, come on, get up on your feet, come on. And then he literally grabbed him by both shoulders and dragged him to the dugout. And of course, they're not going to take the kid out because he's too damn good, and he can pitch too, and he can pitch really hard. But, you know, he had to be thrown onto the bench, yelled at. You know, the kid's crying, sniffling, goes back out there to pitch, you know, strikes some kids out. And then he's up to bat, and we just really got to hope that he gets a hit, because then we're going to have another scene on our hands. And then another time, this was after a game. This is, again, when I was playing, during my playing days. This kid had, like, random anger issues. Like, I never realized he had anger issues, but, like, there would be random times where he would just blow a flipping gasket. And he blew a gasket on his mom. After the game, I don't know why he was so pissed, but he got so mad at his mom, and I kid you not, the mom walked away from him when he was throwing his tantrum. The kid legitimately was gonna run over there and I think tackle his mom if it wasn't for his dad who pulled his collar back at the last second. Like the kid literally kicked his leg up like he was gonna kick his mom. It was unbelievable. One of the craziest things I've ever seen. The kid was going to legitimately hurt his mom. And this was in third grade. When I was in third grade, he was going to hurt his mom, had his dad not been behind him and grabbed his collar and pulled him back and restrained him. There are way too many Little League kids that get so angry at the little... there are way too many Little League kids with anger issues. It's hilarious. And, yeah, there's always got to be that one dad that, you know, is like, all right, time to restrain my son. You know, it's going to make a scene and everyone's going to look at me like I'm a bad parent. But, hey, it's got to be done. Because if it isn't, then we're going to have some blood drawn on the baseball diamond. And number five. We all love this dad. And you want to know why? Because this was my dad. At least my first year playing baseball. The chill dad with the shit player. As his kid. Yeah, the chill dad with the shit kid. All of us are very appreciative of the dad that knows their son isn't anything, but he signs him up for baseball, and he goes to all of his games, and he just watches his son shit the bed every single time he gets up to the bat. You want to know why? Because that was my dad my first year playing baseball. I think I had two hits when I played baseball my first year. Two or three hits. My dad went to every single game. He'd watch me, you know, bat last in the order, and then I'd go out there and patrol right field with me and my younger brother Mitchell. We'd patrol right field, get no balls thrown to us, and on the rare occasion that a ball was thrown to us, that ball was going through our legs, and we were fucked. The whole team was fucked. And I'm so thankful for my dad for going to every single one of those games, knowing I was so terrible at baseball. And, it really sucks. I remember one time I was out in right field, and I think I had like three balls hit to me in right field, and it was so random. Like nobody ever thinks that's gonna happen, but it did. So my dad, the first time, I was just an absolute striped ball was hit to me in right field. And remember, and also, if you don't know, people that didn't play Little League baseball, if you're in right field, you're the worst player because no balls are ever hit out there. So no kids hit in opposite field. So a ball was hit to me, and I got really scared of it. Took a really hard hop, and I ran away from the ball. And the kid that hit got a stand up triple. And my dad said, "All right, Bruce, you'll get the next one." So God, that's just a typical dad, with cool dad with the shit kid. Another ball's hit to me, and I fuck it up again. And my dad goes, "Bruce, just hang in there, eye on the ball, stay in front of it." And then the third one, this was when my dad just had enough, because my dad was actually a decent baseball player in high school, and he just doesn't want to see him, like, me embarrassing myself every single time. There is another ball hit to me in right field. Same result, let it go by me, got scared of it. My dad just says, "All right, come on, Bruce, this is getting ridiculous." Literally said that word for word, "This is getting ridiculous." I was in third grade, and my dad was so disappointed at me for not being able to field some shitty line drives. I mean, he must have felt embarrassed. But I'm not just talking about my dad. There's always the dad that is just like, come on. Sometimes the dad doesn't even know shit about baseball. They're just kind of there to see what their son's up to. Come on, Billy, let's get one going here. Eye on the ball. And, little Billy is just gonna let, four balls go by because he's afraid of the ball like I was. And he's either gonna get a walk like he wants, so because he doesn't want to swing the ball, or he's gonna get the tee and after four balls. And the dad is just always there for consistent support. No matter what, no matter how bad my kid is, I'm always gonna be there to support my son. And I respect those dads. So yeah. The chill dad with the shit kid, they got a very, very even temper. They will not get angry. They're just there to see their kid have fun. And the thing that bugs me even more is, like, they're out there to see their kid have fun, and their kid's not having fun. When you suck at baseball, it's the worst sport of all time. And yeah, I was one of those kids. I quit baseball after 2 years. I hated it. All right, that should do it for the juice. It's a little shorter episode, only three segments, but I just hit a mental block. I really did not know what I was gonna do, but I had to talk about Devonte Adams, had to talk about the Rockets winning state, and I had to give a top five segment. So that'll be it for the juice. See you next week. Chance, take us out.
Thirsty, thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm pretty cool. My neti bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice, I got the juice.
10-0, Adams on. Foolies glad I'm on. Even my haters kinda glad I'm on. Rest in peace to my